Hello, everyone. I would like to read this afternoon from the Holiest Book, Holiest 2, Tablet 1. And Terah lived 70 years, and begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Genesis 11:26. Abram was born. Abram was a great soul. He was an avatar. Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran, and Haran begat Lot. Genesis 11:27. Repetition of the generations of Terah shows their importance. He had the same number of children as Noah. And Haran died before his father Terah, in the land of his nativity, in Ur of the Chaldees, Genesis 11:28. They were living in Ur in Chaldees. And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah, Genesis 11:29. Abram was leading a regular life. Also, the name Sarai is very similar to the Sanskrit names Sarvati and Sardamoni. But Sarai was barren. She had no child, Genesis 11:30. Even after Abram found out she was barren, he continued their marriage. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came into Haran and dwelt there. Genesis 11:31. The similarity of the name of Haran, the son of Terah, with the place they went to dwell in, shows the desire of Terah toward having the place Haran. It also shows the name of a place is used as the name of a person. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran, Genesis 11:32. Elected Ones, Hebrews chapter 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Genesis 12, verse 1. With the process of evolution and many reincarnations of humans, God was able to select some of those who had reached a higher level of consciousness as elected ones. Abram was the first selected one and was given the instructions of how to start his mission. Although he was called Abram, not a Brahmin, God chose him. God is not a respecter of man-made titles, but the fullness of the heart. Abram was a true Brahmin. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Genesis 12, verse 2. Abram not only had been chosen for starting the great mission, but he would be a blessing for all whenever he was reincarnated in the future. There was also a promise that if the commandment of leaving his family and going where the Lord wanted was followed, there would be a great nation from him, who are the elected ones. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Genesis 12, verse 3. Through his children, who would cover most of the world, and his nation, elected ones, the whole earth would be blessed. Also, He would be born in so many different parts of the world, and they all would be blessed through him. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Genesis 12, verse 4. Abram left to obey the Lord's command and to start his mission. So God was keep his promise to him also. Now there's a footnote on the word Abram. When an A is used in front of any Sanskrit name, it becomes negative or opposite, such as Vidya, knowledge, Avidya, ignorance. Tablet 2. This explanation of Genesis verse by verse finishes here. However, the important verses of the rest of this book will be briefly explained below. These verses and the significance of the rest of Genesis are explained in more detail in the book, Children of Abraham, All Prophecies Are Fulfilled. A promise is given to Abram. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth. Genesis 13, 14 to 16. There are two promises here. First, that a land would be given to Abram's seed, which would stretch in all directions with no mention of boundaries. And second, that Abram's seed would be increased as the dust of the earth. So the land should be very large to bear that huge a population. The promises above are for Abram's seed. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Genesis 16, 16. These promises and more were given to Abram. The seed of Abram was Ishmael. The previous promises are repeated to Abram, and then the name of Abram is changed to Abraham. And when Abraham was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me, and be thou perfect. Genesis 17, verse 1. Walk before me, and be thou perfect, is the same as walking with God, which is to be submissive to him and his laws. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shalt thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. Genesis 17, verses 2 to 5. New promises are given to Abraham. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Genesis 17, verses 6 to 8. There were two promises given to Abraham, a promise of material possession, nations, and a promise of kingly status, kings shall come out of thee. These promises were given to Abraham and his seed, will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee, after Abraham. Also this time, the land which would be given to Abraham's seed was mentioned with definite boundaries. Canaan, promised land. These promises are for Isaac, Abraham's seed. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Genesis 17:15-16. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. These promises were given to Abraham for Sarai's son, Isaac. Sarai's name was also changed to Sarah. This was done to emphasize the significance of the change of the name of Abram to Abraham. Abraham is tested, and an unconditional promise is given to him, that in blessing, I, God, will bless thee, Abraham, and in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Genesis 22:17-18. God commanded Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac for him. Abraham obeyed and prepared his son as a sacrifice to him. But God stopped him, gave him new promises, and repeated the old ones. Until this point, all the promises were conditional with a commandment or something to be done to receive that promise. But here, after Abraham obeyed God even to sacrifice his age-old begotten son, God gave him unconditional promises, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Tablet 3. The promises are repeated to Isaac. And I will make thy, Isaac's seed, to multiply as the stars of heaven. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Genesis 26:4-5. The promises were repeated to Isaac for his seed. These promises had two aspects. First, the promise of birthright, which would go to the first son, which was the material part of the promise, a nation. And second, the promise of spiritual blessing or kingly stature, scepter, which would go to the son who would be blessed by the father, Isaac in this case. Although Jacob was the younger son of Isaac, he bought the birthright from Esau, the elder brother, Genesis 25:29-33, and receive Isaac's, his father's, blessing, Genesis 27. So although being the younger son, Jacob received both the birthright and spiritual kingship scepter. The previous promises and more are repeated to Jacob. And thy, Jacob's seed, shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. Genesis 28:14. These promises were repeated to Jacob, that also his seed would spread in all directions. The name of Jacob is changed, and new promises are given to him. And God said unto him, Jacob, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. Genesis 35 verse 10. So the name of Jacob was changed to Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. Genesis 35:11. His name was changed, and a new promise was given to him, a nation and a company of nations. This promise was given exclusively to Israel, not to Isaac, and his seed, Jacob, and Esau. This was only for the children of Israel. Israel, Jacob, takes his sons' sons, Joseph's sons, as his own sons. And now thy, Joseph's, two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee in Egypt, are mine. Genesis 48:5. Jacob, Israel, made his grandsons, Ephraim and Manasseh, as his own sons. Therefore they would inherit whatever was given to Joseph, his own son. Israel separates the inheritance of the scepter and the birthright by giving them to two of his sons separately. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Genesis 49:10. This verse was spoken by Jacob, Israel, at the time of his death. He separated the kingly inheritance scepter from the birthright, and he gave the scepter to Judah. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, but this promise was until Shiloh, Messiah, come. Then not only would the scepter depart from Judah, but also the law-giving. So with the coming of the promised Messiah, in addition to his mission as a Savior, the two aspects above would be fulfilled, and also unto him shall the gathering of the people who are from Israel, be. The birthright or material possession, a nation and a company of nations, was given to Joseph. Genesis 49:22-26. And also it is stated in Chronicles 1:5-2. But the birthright was Joseph's, which later on was inherited by Ephraim and Manasseh. His sons, whom Israel, Jacob, looked upon as his own sons, Genesis 48:3-5. How these promises were fulfilled, and what their relationships are with the rest of the material and though, can be found in the book, Children of Abraham, All Prophecies Are Fulfilled. Tablet 4. After Abraham was selected to be the first elected one, his children and seed were all the incarnations of great souls who had gone through many reincarnations until they had reached a very high consciousness. Only in this state could they be born in the Hebrew community as God's people. At the end of Genesis, it is shown how the number of Hebrews increased to 71 by the time of the death of Israel, Jacob. Israel means he who struggles with God, struggle with, in the sense of struggling side by side with God to bring all to pure consciousness. So the children of Israel are those humans who strive to bring the whole universe to higher consciousness and pure consciousness. Also, these chapters of Genesis show the struggle of the Israelites to find a land where they could settle in and start their nation. Eventually, they settled in Egypt. However, after some time, the Egyptians enslaved them and made their lives miserable. In order for the Hebrews to become stronger and multiply their numbers, they had to go through this long period of struggle. This was foretold by God, Genesis 15, verses 12 to 14. In Exodus, the great heroic legend of the Israelites and how God helped them go out of Egypt shows how God wanted all this time to see the elected ones increase in number and to reincarnate all the good seed that had reached higher consciousness in that race. By leaving Egypt, through the instructions given by the Lord, by the laws which were revealed to Moses, through their suffering in the desert, and by multiplying their numbers, the Israelites became ready as a mighty nation. With these qualities, and through their long struggle, they created great characteristics which are necessary for any group in order to advance and bring about a new change in the world. That is what God had planned to do. The Israelites were chosen to bring about a new understanding of the reality of God. They were set aside to destroy the superstitious and false religions which were practiced by many. However, their most important mission was to make humans realize that the proper environment is necessary for spiritual progress, which means the establishment of the kingdom of heaven on earth, with him as the king, is a must. The concept of the promised land by the Israelites is finished at the end of Joshua. There is no J in the Hebrew language, so it is actually Yeshua, which itself is a corrupt pronunciation of the sacred name of the Son. After the conquering of the land was finished, the system of government was left in the hands of the judges. They were supposed to receive their instructions from the Lord. However, because of the cruelty of the time and the minds of the people, these positions were left in the hands of the warriors. People thought that if someone was a good warrior, he would be a good judge also. They were in the state of praising the mighty men of war, Katrias. However, this system failed, and the people requested that there be a human king. People rejected God as their king, 1 Samuel 8, verse 7. This was the greatest mistake any man or nations could make, and was the mark of the failure of the Israelites. They chose Saul as their king. He was a mighty man, vigorous and handsome. However, God reincarnated a great soul as David, who was fair in appearance, but was in tune with God's will. Tablet 5. David was the grandson of Ruth. Ruth was a foreigner who accepted the God of Israel, the only God, as her Lord, and put her trust in him. She was kind and considerate. So she received the favor of God, and he made her grandson David the greatest king of Israel. With this doing, God showed that the elected ones are not those who call themselves chosen people, but are those who accept him as their God and obey his laws. King David brought the symbol of a great king. With his unparalleled wisdom, he understood the meaning of the sign of the children of Abraham, which means that with great organization, triangle upward, and with the application of justice, triangle downward, the kingdom of heaven on earth can be established. However, this kingdom is impossible If the leaders do not follow the laws of God and do not listen to His voice, which comes to them by the Holy Ghost and through His prophets. We can see that in the book of Kings, that the first real sign of corruption of the Israelites started. The reason is the kings of Israel started to forget God and were caught up in their false egos. They thought the power and might came from themselves. It is always true that the leaders have the greatest effect over their people. When leaders forget about their God and their religion, the people will surely also abandon theirs. That is why prophets started coming to the scene of the history of Israel. It was only the prophets who were left to think about God, understand His will, and warn people to go back to Him. However, as we can see, the people became more and more corrupt. Eventually, they reached such a point that they completely lost the reason and purpose for which they had been chosen. So the Israelites lost their strength and might. They became involved in the small aspects of life and abandoned their religion by accepting others' beliefs. They lost to the Assyrians because whatever God had given to make them strong had been forgotten. They did not listen to the prophets that God had sent them. Therefore, they became lost. If a person closes his ears to the truth and does not want to hear what the reality of life is, even gods cannot help him. That is why the children of Israel became lost sheep. However, after exile, the Jews returned and tried to establish their traditions. But the religion had been so diluted by others' beliefs that it did not seem possible. This task was undertaken by Ezra. Before the fall of Jerusalem, many prophets warned the people that a great disaster would befall them because of their sins. This shows how the law of karma works and punishes wrongdoers. Again, at the same time, most of these prophets had prophesied that the people in exile would return to Judah later on. This means that after each punishment, people, nations, communities, or humans in general will be given another chance to follow the laws of God and bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. Unfortunately, humans keep making the same mistakes again and again. They should suffer the consequence of their actions until all understand how this universe works and come into harmony, His grace, with it. And I'll stop my reading at this point. That concludes the reading from the holiest book, Holiest 2. So long, everyone.